we forget that we can, and we spend too much time telling ourselves that we can't. That then creates a loss of focus, and a lack of focus means that you'll have a lack of determination, you'll have a lack of tenacity, you'll have a lack of energy for life. So tighten your focus and then expand it.
Are you in your 20s in a job you really don't like? Are you retired and bored? Are you stuck in a rut and can't see a way out? Fact is, the biggest barrier to getting onto the next curve is you. That's right. It is never too late or too early to be who you want to be. My name is Dee Sterling. I'm a businesswoman, a presenter, and we are back with our new show, Second Carvers. We will reframe familiar problems and let you take control. Are you a second carver ready to be ignited? I am so excited today to welcome the incredible Tracy Woodward, High Priestess of the beauty and wellness industry. Tracy, welcome. How are you?
I'm really well, Dee. Thank you for inviting me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
We can look back over many years during which you have become, you know, a titan of the cosmetics and beauty industry. But I want to go back to earlier days. You've talked openly about quite a challenging childhood. But those experiences that you navigated as a child enabled you to navigate bigger things in life,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
And I would like to go back, this is a way long time ago, to when you were a young person in your teens and you got your job working on a beauty counter. Take me back to that point. How did you manage to take the leap and get going?
Well, I think that what I did is what I'd been in practice I'd been doing for, you know, my 19 years, you know, growing up, was to serve. And I was curious about people. I was curious about people's lives, the normality of their lives, you know, who owned their own homes, who had cars, were they getting married, was there a family wedding, was there a, you know, christening, was there a point of celebration? And I kind of arrived on the counter and thought, how am I going to matter? I mean, you know, I'm the lowest of the food chain, unpacking the boxes and cleaning the testers, and, you know, so what am I going to do? And so how I saw it was to connect with the customer and to connect with people and to learn from people. This was my opportunity to kind of, you know, I'd been in a very, you know, working class environment. This was my opportunity to step out into a middle class environment, see what was happening in the world. And then it was very much class focused and have an understanding. And I thought the only way that I'm going to succeed is to listen, look, and serve.
And you wouldn't probably even have articulated in that way at the time. It was just instinctively. I mean, that's clearly part of who you are, right? But it was instinctive. What was the biggest challenge you faced at that time?
Figuring out how to fill in the sales form. So you had to report all of your figures. So you had to write, you know, what you were up on, what your average spend was, how many clients you saw that day. You know, it was a great big document on an A3, you know, four copies, white you kept, pink went to head office, yellow, you know, it was crazy. So it was filling in that document. And then actually, you know, I'd always had the self-confidence because of the, you know, the life of shoplifting, the criminality of growing up. So, you know, I had the self-confidence, and I, you know, I'd got all the makeup techniques from my mum because that was one thing that she always did. She
Amazing.
Looked beautiful all the time. So I felt that I had the elements of glamour. What I didn't have is, you know, I knew that we had to sell products to keep our jobs. So, you know, so that was it. It was, how was I going to sell it? How was I going to connect? I mean, I can still recite the Clinique computer, which is, you know, question 2 and 5 is, you know, all about skin tone and how does the skin on your face react when you go out into sun for 5 to 6 minutes on the first hot day of summer?
Oh my God.
You know, and that would define what clarifying lotion you would use. And then I kind of figured out that if I started inviting people back for makeup application or workshops and then befriended the rest of the staff in the department, they would send me customers. So, because some people were buying fragrance, some people were buying makeup, and Clinique predominantly was a skincare brand. So it was that navigation of human connection that has stood me in good stead for most of my career.
Well, in some ways, it strikes me that you, as a young person, you know, you weren't clinging on to the banks of the river. You were right in the middle,
flying along at high speed. And that, frankly, took you on a journey, didn't it? Because you went from beauty counters to a series of increasingly mega roles, working for some of the biggest brands on the planet. You were head of duty free beauty at Heathrow Terminal One, and you know, massively added to the bottom line during your tenure there. You worked for many other brands such as Donna Karan Beauty. You worked for Aveda. You were CEO of Aromatherapy Associates, which I loved, as I mentioned to you the other day. And you know, you've also worked as an operating partner for VC and private equity backed businesses. So you are, you know, fast forwarding in the mega highway. Fast lane, Tracy in her power lane, you know, by this time married with children, and you were flat out on all fronts. And we come to a moment of pretty fundamental shift. Your beloved mother passed away, and you took a look at yourself, possibly on the back of that. But take me back to that point.
Well, just before that, I'd been diagnosed with thyroid issues, like thyroid failure, type 2 diabetes, borderline type 1. And then I, you know, watched my mum die. And obviously her condition started with high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, thyroid issues, type 2 diabetes, type 1 diabetes. Now, I hadn't kind of lived the fast. I mean, if you think my life was fast, hers was like she fitted 100 years of living into 65. You know, it was kind of like full on all of the time. So I hadn't, you know, I hadn't had the influence of excessive alcohol or drug use or smoking or lack of exercise. I'd always tried to balance my life out with some of that. But I kind of knew that this was my trajectory if I didn't take some responsibility. Being unwell and seeing your parent being similarly unwell is one light bulb moment. Watching somebody die of something that you could potentially die of in the next 10, 15, 20 years, that's like a flashlight moment. That is like, you know, hold up. I am responsible for my healthcare. I am responsible for my self-care. I have to prioritize myself if I want to even be able to look after anybody else. And so what am I going to do about it? And that was the moment that made me think, first of all, I don't want to do that to my children, because I knew how uncomfortable my mum felt about the whole thing personally. Yeah,
of course.
And secondly, I want my lifespan and my health span to run as closely together as possible. I have absolutely no fear of dying. It's just arrogant to say, but I don't. I just don't want to be unwell and a burden to anybody else other than myself.
So at that point, not 100%, but at that point, you know, I remember reading somewhere, you may even have said to me, you felt unhealthy and unhappy, right?
Yeah.
So there's a kind of, you know, clearly there was a moment.
And they were best friends, unhealthy and unhappy.
Right.
They used to hang out at my house all the time.
Right. So, you know, what happened? Like, what changes did you start to make? Because the fact is, you know, we know that in our logical mind as well, we can observe and see things that are going on. But I do think in profoundly life-changing moments, such as your mother being critically ill and you know, you seeing what was going on and also looking at yourself, where did you even kind of start to go, right, in that whole scenario, where do I start? How do I make steps? What was the action point for you?
Yeah, the first thing I did is I thought, I'm going to try and read a book. And so I found this book called Inflammation Nation, which at that time was absolutely terrifying. Now I look at that book and I laugh because I go, oh yeah, you know, this is so easy. It's such common sense. But I was like, what? We all get inflammation. We all get different types of inflammation. We can cure inflammation. We can take responsibility for it. So anybody that's worried about their health, read that book. And the second thing I did is I reached out to my best friend, Yvonne Wake, who's a public health nutritionist and brought aerobics to the UK in the 80s. So, you know, she's 71 now. She still looks like she's in her 50s.
Amazing.
She's amazing.
We love her.
And I said, we love her. She's like a beacon of light and hope for me. And I said that you should actually have her on a podcast. I said to her, I need your help. I need you to come round and tell me all the things that I'm doing wrong as my friend and look in my cupboards and look in my fridge and speak to my family and explain how serious this is. You know, and it's some of it is inherited because we just keep going and we just think everything's going to be all right. And some of it I could change. So, you know, if I could look at what genetically what my potential was and start to minus things off, then I would be in a better place. So that was the first thing I did. I'd always been, you know, going to a personal trainer and working out. But then I seriously started walking. I started to just reduce my calories, look at my diet, look at processed food, thanks to Yvonne's help. And then just got more and more into fitness, and then read a lot about sleep. I mean, I could always sleep for England. I love sleep. And I know that when I knew that when I was at my lowest, one of the things that I wanted to do always was sleep.
Of course.
So I feel that, you know, tiredness is a signifier. But of course, growing up in the, you know, 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, no one cared about sleep then. That wasn't a priority. You know, everybody used to say, well, what do I want to sleep for? What a waste of time. But actually, it's when our body restores, it heals, we recover. You know, it makes such a difference, and it reduces inflammation in the body. So that was, those were my learnings. And then I kind of started to read about fasting and intermittent fasting. And one of my girlfriends gave a recommendation, and then it just went from there. And of course, you can only do better when you know better. And what I know about health is once you know better, you're doing yourself a disservice by not following the protocols that you've given to yourself to make yourself better or to bring yourself into recovery mode. It's all a balance game, and you have to prioritize it. Longevity and vitality is my priority over, you know, food and alcohol.
Yeah. And Tracy, how did you, in those early days, and it's really a bit of a journey of life, but in those early days when you realized you had to make some little and some fundamental changes too, and relearn certain ways of doing things and being, etc., how did you keep to it? Because often it's the kind of discipline of being in the rhythm, doing the same things, you know, rinse and repeat. What was your secret there?
Reminding myself of the possible outcome, the fact that, you know, that you get stiffer, you get tireder, your body swells up. You know, I'd had a taste of that. So did I want to go back to that? So when I first started my fitness, every few weeks I would add in another weight. So as I was losing weight, I was adding the weights on. So in the end, I was walking with a bodysuit. You know, I mean, my girlfriend
Lovely.
Used to laugh at me. So yeah, like, so like, you know, like a weighted bodysuit, like a vest, ankle weights, wrist weights, holding weights in my backpack, weights in my pocket,
yes,
until
perfect.
I was carrying 20 kilos.
Perfect.
Yeah. And but that's what I'd lost. And so the reminder was that, you know, every time I go the other way, if I don't correct it, because we all can fall off the wagon, we can all find ourselves in, you know, stressful situations or, you know, overconsumption. But if I didn't, then that weight would come back on, and that would be the trigger for everything else. You know, you reverse type 2 diabetes through healthy weight loss. And I think the thing that really gave me a lot of power was the fasting. So my first fast was 7 days, then I went to 10 days, then I went to 15 days, then I went to 23 days. And now I'm back to, you know, going for 2 weeks every year. So I don't do the traditional fly and flop holidays. You know, I was the girl that had the nice legs and the beautiful swimming costume and the great sandals that everyone looked at. And suddenly I became the person that was looking at those women thinking, I used to have those legs. I didn't have this light tummy. I didn't feel like this, you know, and it was stealing my confidence.
It's draining.
Right? And this all sounds very cosmetic, but it was still, you know, I was in the beauty, and I'm in the beauty industry, but stealing my confidence, eating at my self-esteem. And I have a daughter, and I wanted to be a good role model for my daughter and for my son and for anybody else around me. And I just thought, you know, I'm disciplined through resilience and mental attitude. I'm not disciplined for the sake of being disciplined. So for me, it's always, you know, commitment versus outcome. And so, you know, it's very easy to drift in and out of that situation rather than be that addictive, habitual person, although I do believe I can be that person. You know, I used to run to manage stress, but I also used to eat croissants to manage stress.
Right, like many people, right? And yeah. you also said once that, and it was probably part of your learning at this time as you were going through this mega shift and sort of retiring out of one way of being and going on a new course, that one of your biggest mistakes was really putting others first and giving the responsibility of your health also to others. So two things.
Yeah. Well, I saw my mum going to the doctors and getting another pill and another pill and another pill and another pill. And I thought, why do we do that? Why do we not, you know? And remember, reading was such a gift to me. It wasn't something that I had age 5 or age 6 or age 7. It happened older. So I had this hunger for knowledge and curiosity. But I think that what made me feel a bit like that was, you know, we should give ourselves some intel. We should build our own self-confidence, our own self-awareness. Nobody knows better about how we're feeling than, you know, how we feel in ourselves than us. And so how do we connect into that? And I really saw, you know, my team and I came up with a hashtag when we were at Aromatherapy Associates, which was self-care was healthcare. And so many people said to me, that is such a selfish statement. And after a while, I said, why is it a selfish statement? Because actually, I want to give 100% of me to my friends, to my family, to the people that I love and care about, to my work. I want to be able to give 100%. But if I'm only running on 75%, that's what people are getting. They're getting 50% of me. They're getting the shouty, angry me. They're getting the hormonal, stressed, traumatized me. They're getting the lack of sleep me because, you know, I've got so many other things going on that I can't sleep. So actually, and we see men probably, most men do this better than women, is they kind of practice that self-care, whether it be going to football or, you know, whatever they do. And women think that self-care is, you know, perhaps a glass of wine or a gin and tonic in the evening, or, you know, getting your nails done or your brows done. And those are all really, really lovely. But, you know, they don't allow you to check in with yourself. They don't allow you to check into your mental and your physical energy. And if you see pictures of me at 47 versus me today at 57 sitting here talking to you, you would think, oh my God, they ran the wrong way. This is not, you know, this is not her, that's her. So, you know, that would be the process. So for me, it was like recognizing that I was changing and growing into the person that I recognized, you know, a lot earlier on in my life.
Which I love, right? Because we can lose ourselves. And also, I don't want to sound cliched at all, but, you know, sometimes with life, with living, with work, with family, with being parenting, we can be over-nurturing and forget ourselves in the midst of it all. Can I ask you also on a very profound level, did you feel that your outlook really pivoted in a new, more optimistic direction? Because I remember you saying once that, you know, you'd spent literally most of your life being scared to death, being afraid of failure.
Yeah. Fear.
Fear, you know, fear which blocks everyone, fear which makes us stop in our tracks and not act, fear that people can't walk through or walk around. What emotionally shifted in you with all these other changes that were going on?
The fear definitely shifted with the waking up in the morning. And, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you feel good about yourself and the birds are singing and the sun's shining, or even when it's raining, you know, one of the things that I believe, and obviously Kalmar is a big part of that ethos, you know, through Karen's vision and my own, is that when we are terrified, we don't see things, we don't feel things emotionally, we don't see the color and the texture, we see the image, and normally we attach failure to that, like the outcomes are negative when we're fearful. It's very hard, you know, you take that, you know, you put that that mindset on where you're kind of I feel like you're on the victim bus. Do you know what I mean? It's like, let's all get on the victim bus together and off we go, because, totally, you know, we don't feel good. We don't look good. We're not right. And so you kind of, you find like-minded people, you know, you kind of start to hang around with different individuals, and you don't get that clarity or energy or optimism. You know, if, again, when you know better, you do better. But when you feel better, you attract better. You know, happy people, shiny, bright, happy people attach a different energy. The conversation is always different when you smile at somebody versus frowning at somebody. And it's very hard to do all of that when your hormones and your body is full of inflammation and shot to bits.
Exactly. So coming on to Kalmar, so obviously the beauty and wellness industry is worth trillions of dollars.
4.4 trillion.
Voila, I knew you were going to know that figure. And
the beauty industry is worth 4.4 trillion and the wellness industry is worth 6.6 trillion.
Well, there you go. And growing day on day exponentially. I would like to talk about Kalmar, which you have co-created with the spectacular Karen Rumi. I mean, honestly, Karen, you're getting me back to my dancing. That's all I can say. Tell me, you know, you've worked with some of the biggest brands in the world. Why another brand? Tell me what is special about Kalmar.
I think that, you know, this is a woman that was in the city and had, you know, and still has a beautiful life, could do whatever she wanted to do. When she was working on the stock exchange in Paris, she was journaling every day. She was connecting to herself. She was almost kind of, I suppose there's similarities, but a different end of the spectrum. Like, you know, as soon as I learned how to read and write, I was keeping a cosmic shopping list of all the things I wanted to achieve and do. What Karen was doing, she had this wonderful life, this wonderful career, you know, has, you know, lived a fabulous life, but journaling about where she was going to find the change and the energy. So, you know, she, that's what took her into the world of spirituality and reading and supporting. So I think that, you know, we came together at different ends, but, you know, bookend nicely. And the requests that she kept putting towards me just kept stretching the brand, you know, like, I don't want to use essential oils. I want to use a different type of formulation because, you know, the extraction process, I'm allergic to a lot of oils. I don't want to use those traditional products. I want the smell to be really important. I want skincare ingredients in body
products. Which I love.
And then I want it. And then I want to talk to people's soul and senses. I'm like, how do you do that? You know, so I feel like together we worked on the brand, and we've got an amazing team there today too that continue to support the brand. But the idea and the ethos of Kalmar is that we all have these four vessels that sit comfortably within us. And sometimes when life gets busy and hectic, we neglect them. And the first one is happiness. No one really asks you what makes you happy, what brings you joy, how many happiness hours do you have in your day? And then nobody really says, how do you calm down? You know, when you're, do you suffer from anxiety? Do you feel anxiety? You know, what brings you calm? How do you sleep? What do you do to relax that? And peace was around, you know, so we've got joy, happiness, calm, relaxation. Peace is about seeing the beauty, the joy and wonder of nature in its truest self, which is, you know, the stars. You know, like I was talking to someone earlier about, you know, how it's lovely to chase a sunset down a motorway. You know, it's just like, not literally, but, you know, you kind of, if you're rushing to get home with your family and you're highly stressed, you don't even see that sunset. You don't appreciate it. You don't think, oh my God, I'm so lucky to be alive. So we talk about peace in the sense of nature and getting back to nature. And then love and love of self, not love of stuff. Stuff is lovely, right? And you can collect that stuff as you go. But in the end, you leave this world with nothing and you come in with nothing. So how about liking who you are? And in a lot of instances, we leave this planet alone. So how about that last breath being one of, you know, self-compassion and self-love and self-connection? So it's a huge ask for a beauty brand. But what we try to create is that, you know, even if you bring 2% of that into your daily life, it will make a difference on how you see yourself. And obviously, we hope that when people come to the House of Kalmar and experience the treatments and they sit on the lovely green sofa and then they lie on the beautiful bed and they have the products, the scent is associated with the experience of the kindness that you receive, that you should be giving to yourself on a daily basis to be the best version of you.
Well, listen, I absolutely love it. And, you know, I want to just give a big shout out to all the team who are incredible and beautiful individuals together and on their own. And on their own terms. And, you know, the products are beautiful. So I just want to say to everybody who's watching and listening, please look up Kalmar. It's just really exceptional. And one of the things that really actually went straight to my heart when I, you know, learned more about what you're doing is, you know, one of the key messages really this, how do you want to feel, right? And how can you, plural, help create this energy with these beautiful products and these incredible experiences, which are very, very special and very different to a lot of other treatments out there, to put it mildly. So tell me about you in terms of, you know, you must get asked this all the time, but I think it's really interesting to share it with our listeners. What are your top beauty tips?
Top beauty tips? So, well, the things that I've done forever. Well, when I worked for Donna Karan, I discovered that she still is a very spiritual human being. But I discovered that she'd body brushed, and I was like, well, I'm going to do that. So I did that for years. You know, I still do it today. And actually, I went one step further and found the softest brush to face brush. So that's something that I, you know, I continuously do. I cold water shower in the mornings. I go on, I don't go on the conventional holiday now. I go on the holiday where I'm going to discover something about myself, get a little bit more connected to me, a retreat. And, you know, some are luxurious and some are less luxurious, but they're all about discovery. Some are just, you know, walking and hiking, which I love. So I try to eat 30 different portions of fruit and veg a week, varied. And it's like my challenge. It's like I never have, you know, strawberries 2 weeks in a row or kiwis or, you know, spring greens. I try to eat seasonally and I look after my gut. I focus on gut health because I believe that that's what gives you great skin. I think that sunscreen is really, really important. I think that random acts of self-kindness, having those rituals, drawing a bath, all of those things matter so much to how you're feeling. And I think that, you know, I get my eyebrows shaped and a manicure and pedicure. I use the Ruby app, which is mobile beauty therapy into your house, like it's going out of fashion. Because, you know, as a single woman, you need personal connection as well. And I think that, you know, a massage can be as good as sex. So
I love that. Listen, everybody.
Shop connection. Yeah, if you're not getting any, get a
exactly,
massage.
Exactly.
And it doesn't have to have a happy ending.
Yeah, exactly. 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 But you'll get a good night's sleep.
Because it's about connection. if you hug someone for 7 seconds, you get enough oxytocin and serotonin to make you feel good about
it. I know,
yourself.
And I love that one. I actually thought it was longer, but that is, I'm sure you're absolutely right. Somebody said it was 19 or something like that, but I love that.
Yeah.
So listen, what are you excited about as you look out to the horizon? What are you up to next? And I know there's a podcast coming down the track, so tell me about that.
Yeah, so I'm doing a podcast on dating because I've, I always look at things in commercial terms as well, right? And there's always a justifiable return on investment in all the things that I do. I can't help that. That is the business person in me. So I've had more than 2,000 conversations. With prospective suitors.
Over what period of time, Tracy?
Since 2019, okay. I have had 1,673 conversations, to be precise.
Actually, actual physical conversation, as in, you know, you've heard their voice?
Yeah, well, on the phone, yeah, text, heard their voice. Yeah, heard their voice or voice messaging backwards and forwards. I've been on 200 dates.
Oh, my God.
I've kissed 6 and slept with 3. So, you know, a very short-term relationship, a 3-month relationship and a 6-month relationship. So my theory is that from a return on investment perspective, you know, there is no return on investment on dating apps, and they steal your self-confidence. And a lot of people are looking for validation. And actually, I mean, I don't want to say I'm a bit of a catch, but I think that, you know, an independent woman that isn't looking to be, you know, saved or, you know, is looking for, you know, the fun nights out, brilliant conversation, a love of art and the theatre. And we're not turning this into a dating questie, but
no,
you know,
I
as we
love
look at all
it.
The things
I
that
know, we could do a better job. Things. Come on. I'm a former headhunter. We could do this.
All the things that I think I'm looking for, you know, seeing someone every other weekend, not looking, you know, not necessarily looking to, you know, I'm not looking for a cottage and a picket fence.
No,
anymore.
Definitely
I'm
not.
Done
definitely
with that,
not.
You know?
Definitely not.
And I think, how difficult can it be for a woman to meet somebody? So I kind of feel that if I'm going through that as a relatively confident, you know, I feel that I'm confident, I'm capable, I'm independent.
You're fabulous.
Thank you, God. But, you know, with all of those things, how can, you know, a person that doesn't have confidence or doesn't have, you know, what they feel they need, what must they be going through? So I'm trying to kind of talk about it with my lovely friend, Pia Stancina, who is a life coach, on, you know, how does it make you feel and what do you do to kind of, you know, brush it off and get on? Because it steals your self-esteem and your self-worth. It's a challenging space to be in. And it's not just for women. You know, I meet men that feel the same. It's sadly, I just don't fancy them.
Well, listen, you know, we're going to look out with hope to the future. And the fact is, you know, there's always a way. And I think too, you know, fundamentally, one of the things that was really resonating here is just the importance of connection, right? Real connection with oneself and meaningful connections with others. And it strikes me that whole online world is so transactional. People demonstrate behaviors that they wouldn't if they were sitting next to someone or meeting them at a drinks or whatever else, right?
Same as social media, right?
Totally.
I mean, some of the things that people say about other people on social media, if you put them in front of people, they wouldn't have the bottle to say it. You know, they'd have no courage whatsoever. And I kind of, you know, I am what you see is what you get. And if you ask me an opinion, you'll get it. And, you know, most people that I don't like probably will never know it because I'll be respectful. But that's, you know, that's as far as it goes. I draw a very, you know, defined line in the sand. And so I am very nervous about the future when people think that they can say anything they want and do nothing.
Oh, I agree. And there's got to be a correction. And that's something we have to work on. Tracy, you have so much learning to share. And I'm hoping everyone's really picking up on some of your language, even about changing and shifting and things like happiness hours. It's so powerful. You've said that, you know, some of your secrets to living a good life and an examined life and a life of agency are sleep, which we've talked about, food, purpose, exercise, connection. I would like to talk about purpose because I think you could really unpack that a little bit for everyone listening and watching. You know, we've talked about working out at least the first step and making a plan. What would you say to someone listening who's just needs to get going, needs to pivot, needs to go in a different direction, needs to get onto their second act, but they're really not sure where to start? What would your advice be?
I would say start a life mood board. Start to envisage your life, write some things down. So one of the things I did with a group of girlfriends when we went away for my birthday is I gave everybody 20 pieces of paper and I asked them to take ownership of, put down 20 things that they would like to do for themselves, their friends, their family, whatever, but to put 20 things on a piece of paper. So this was a 12-month focus. And then what I want you to do is to burn 18 of those. Choose two and burn 18. And two that you take control of and the other 18 you give over to the universe. And just focus on those two things and feel that sense of achievement. And once you've achieved those two things, you can then start thinking about the other 18 things. But, you know, I think that the thing is that we forget that we can and we spend too much time telling ourselves that we can't. And that then creates a loss of focus. And a lack of focus means that you'll have a lack of determination. You'll have a lack of tenacity. You'll have a lack of energy for life. So tighten your focus and then expand it. But also, you know, create a mood board of what you want to create. Have a plan. A plan doesn't always have to be written down and with timelines attached to it. It can just be an image of things that you want to do and achieve and where you see yourself. And that gives you purpose. And never forget that the only way that you are going to feel good about yourself is to do something good for somebody else. Because it's the only authentic appraisal of self that we ever get.
So true. So Tracy, on that note, as we wrap, you day in, day out support others. And I know you wouldn't blow your trumpet about this, but I know you do. And, you know, you said to me, and it was really beautiful and touching, that you just want to inspire one person a day. And what a big mandate that is. And you're inspiring many more than that on a daily basis. You give a lot to others. You counsel, you mentor, you coach, formally and informally as well, as part of your journey in giving back. What advice have you been given along the way that has just carried you?
Don't worry about what other people think about you. It doesn't. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. And there was a great, my mum always used to say to me, if you think you can, I'm not going to have the same life as you. I'm not going to live this life. I'm going to be a beauty consultant. And she used to say, if you think you can, you will. And if you think you can't, you won't. And that has stood me in good stead forever. But I've had so many amazing mentors, men and women, that have just switched a light on for me. So if you can't find your light, tell other people, share that story, share how you're feeling. Someone else will give you that flicker. Someone else will give you that little light that just goes on to light you up and push you forward. And I think that what we forget is we're so busy competing with the world and the things that we want and other individuals that actually we forget that by nature, people are inclined to want to help others. People are mostly good, but if they don't know what you want, they can never help you. So if there is something that you want to achieve or somewhere you want to go or somewhere you want to be, tell as many people as you know. I mean, we just know how many times you're like one remove from somebody that could change your life.
Totally. And we forget that.
And it could be a school teacher. It could be your boss that you're working with in a shop. It could be, you know, your CEO. It could be your marketing person. It could be your family friend. It could be your best friend. You just never know. So never be ashamed of what your aspirations are. Share them, because as soon as you put them out into the universe, sounds very spiritual, I know, but they're no longer just your thoughts. They are goals. And so, but a goal will never, you know, be allowed to reach its potential if it's kept in here and here. You have to let it out. You know, a footballer needs several different types of coaches and counsellors to be the best footballer in the world. I tried to dance a Beyonce dance routine. It took me 2 weeks to learn 3 minutes.
Pretty good. I look forward to seeing that one.
I'll send it to you. I did it with my daughter. Oh, my God. We did three, actually. And it's like, and that was the interesting thing. So I said to Ava, because I couldn't understand why she wasn't like, you know, I'm there giving it all, you know, just shaking my thing. And I thought, why is she just counting? And she's very musical, Ava. She plays the piano. And I thought, why is she? She's just not getting into it. And my daughter can move. She's a real, you know, she's definitely got rhythm. She's got the best of her mum and her dad. And this instructor, who was absolutely amazing, said, right, okay, I'm going to film you now and I'm going to step out of it and you're going to follow. Well, we were doing Love on Top to Beyonce. Oh, my God, when he did it for real, Ava just pulled it out of the bag. Oh, I was like, my chin hit the ground. I was so proud and so excited for her and just enjoying that journey so much. And when the music stopped, I said, darling, if you go into life with the same attitude that you had learning that dance routine, you are going to have the best life ever.
It's all there waiting for her and for everyone else. So on that note, Tracy, I can't wait for the podcast and the next installment and dancing with you and Karen. Thank you so much.
Let's do that for sure.
Thank you. Lots of love.
Thank you, Dee. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone, Dee here. I hope you enjoyed this incredible episode with my amazing guest. I hope you're enjoying the series. We'd love to hear from you, so do DM me and tell me all your stories of second curving. Lots of love.